Good evening, my name's Michael Finley, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Michael.
And to our my Eastern European brothers and sisters who celebrate Three Kings Day today, and our fellow Europeans celebrating Boxing Day, and for others who today is the 12th day of Christmas, I say to you all, Merry Christmas, Happy Boxing Day, and may the joy of the season be in your heart now and forever. And I'm going to just continue forth with a little prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for bringing us together in this sacred place called Alcoholics Anonymous, where broken people come to heal, where sick people seek an answer for their problems. We thank you, dear God, for all the gifts that you have given us. We thank you, God, for all the gifts that we are aware of, and we thank you, dear God, for all the gifts that we are not aware of. We do not ask you today for gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but instead peace, ease, and comfort, which is absolutely essential for us in order to have a happy life and to be free from this sickness. This peace, this ease, and this comfort, dear God, can only come from you. I ask you, dear God, to please remove whatever is blocking me from these people. Please, dear God, remove whatever is blocking these people from me. And most importantly, dear God, please remove what is blocking all of us from you. We ask you, God, to please lay aside everything we think we know for an open mind and a new experience with our need for power. Please help us see the truth. So it's interesting stuff. I kind of really appreciate the opportunity to share on this time of year. There's so many images to grab from that are out there. One in particular is a story that is on TV every year after year after year this time of year, and I kind of really identify with it. I identify with quite a few of them, actually. But there's this one about a guy who is hard on the inside, who's dark and blackened, who walks around all day saying humbug, and he's sick, and he's sad, and he's cold. And he's a guy who was visited by three ghosts and winds up having an experience with truth and is forever changed. And for those of you who have not been visited by three ghosts, I hope it comes soon so that you might be willing and encouraged to make some changes in your own life. And I wish to continue to be visited by those reminders of the ghost of alcoholism past, the ghost of alcoholism present, and as this book often reminds me of, is what the ghost of alcoholism future could bring to me if I don't stay close to God and this power. So it's kind of neat stuff, and it's interesting too that, you know, circumstances bring us to the second power, I mean to the second step, and you know, it's kind of neat stuff. In some respects, that's what it's all about, right? Having a visit from our future and a visit from our past to help us encourage to say, I need something else. I need to do some other things, right? So in the chapter We Agnostics on page 44, one of the things my sponsor had me write there was how, where, and why to God. Another sponsor asked me to write something that says, feeling better does not equal getting better. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we come in here, we get a couple of days, we get a couple of years, we get a couple of weeks, the girlfriend takes us back, the job brings us back, we get a new job, we get some money in our pocket, I stop throwing up blood and some of the other things that go on in my life as a result of these things, and I start to say, yeah, I'm doing good, I'm doing great. Right, we start to measure our outside conditions, the outside conditions, and try to cover up the inward reality. Right, and the truth is, I'm a guy who is addicted to feelings. I'm a guy who's addicted to emotions. And so, if she's taking me back, then everything's great. Right, and if my car is running doing really well, and there's plenty of gas in there, I'm doing great. But the truth is how am I doing in here, right? What's the unmanageability of my current situation? What's the current unmanageability of my life? One of the things my sponsor asked me to do when I got around a little bit before this time was he asked me to write down all of the current unmanageability from my last drink to today. Kind of neat exercise. He asked me to do that in my first couple weeks of sobriety. It was a neat exercise then, but now with 10 years of sobriety, what would that look like? You know, what's my current unmanageability? You know, do I still believe I need this thing? Do I still believe I need this power? Am I still shaking my belief systems in search for something else, you know, for something more? Is my concept of God getting bigger or is my concept of God shrinking? Because if my concept of God is getting smaller, guess what's getting bigger? My ego. And one thing I do recommend for anybody who's seeking a concept, please seek one that is bigger than your ego. Yeah, I learned that from you. And another thing that I was asked to write was down two definitions, the definitions of atheist. An atheist is one that denies that there is a God, and agnostic. Agnostic doesn't know if there is a God that will actually work in their life. Right? Now, personally, this is just me, and just remember, too, there's going to be a lot of stuff about this chapter, a lot of stuff about the second step that is not going to get covered tonight. And I apologize for that. What's going to come out is what's going to come out, and we'll see where it goes from there. Chances are you probably have a lot to contribute to this discussion, just as much or more so than I myself. So please forgive me if there's some things about the second step and your experience with that step that doesn't show up here tonight. This is just my experience, and this is just what's coming out for me from right now. And my opinion, not Alcoholics Anonymous, it's not in this book, right? But I kind of believe that there are no real atheists, because I believe that we all worship something. We all worship something, right? Me, when I come in here, I worship women. I worship what women think of me. I, you know, if she likes me, I'm doing great. If she doesn't like me, I'm going to hell. Where, you know, things are going bad, right? That's my truth, right? I worship what you think of me. If you think I'm cool, I'm cool. If you think I'm great and smart and funny, then I'm great, smart, and funny, right? But if I think you're talking about me, or if I don't think you like me, or whatever, I'm not doing good, right? I'm not doing too good on the inside. I worship people. I worship my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions. You know, sometimes I worship my DVR, right? Worship my money, my job, my status, right? I believe we all worship something, truthfully, if we're honest about that or not. But take a look at what it is that we put all of our thoughts into, right? If we're thinking so much about the job, and if the job is the number one thing in our life, chances are that's something that we may be worshiping, and that may be our higher power. And the question is, will my job prevent me from picking up a drink again? Will my job help me to stop? I mean, they may have good insurance. You know, they may pay for a fancy rehab and stuff like that. But will it stop me? Has it stopped me yet? You know, has money stopped me from drinking? Has money stopped me from wanting to kill myself? You know, has all of the praise and the accolades and the applause and everything else galore, has that stopped me from drinking? Has that stopped me from wanting to die? Has that stopped me from constantly being in fear of marrying my mother or becoming my father? Right? You know, these are the things that go on in our heads, right? Has these things ever solved any of my problems before? Maybe temporarily, right? That's another thing. You know, is the drink working for you? If it's still working for you, you may be in the wrong room, or it's only a matter of time. You know, but if it's not, you know, are these other things working? You know, what am I worshiping today? And it's something worth. Where's the current unmanageability of my life? It's worth asking ourselves when we first come in here. It's worth asking ourselves wherever we are at this point, right? Is my concept of God getting bigger or is it getting smaller? And I'll tell you, here's a problem with step two that I see sometimes, and it shows up right now on page 45. Just some problems that I see. With some people, sometimes newcomers, sometimes people that are around here for a while. Do I have, the bottom paragraph, do I have honest doubt and prejudice? Do I have honest doubt and prejudice? Have I been violently anti-religious? Does the word God bring up a particular idea of Him which someone tried to impress upon me as a child? Did I reject that particular concept because it seemed inadequate? So therefore, right, you know, somebody may have said some things about God or religion and these other things. We grabbed onto those things as a kid and we ran with them. And now what's happening is I come into Alcoholics Anonymous, I got a drinking problem, I got some other problems going on. I look up there, they say a word about God, they talk about defects of character, they talk about inventory, all this other stuff, and immediately we shut down, we're done. Right? With that rejection, did I imagine that I had abandoned the God idea entirely? Is that something that we've been avoiding most of our life, and then when we come here, we see these things on the wall, and we try to continue to do it? Mm-hmm. Other question is, have I been here for a while? Am I still doing it? Am I still anti-religious? Did I have a spiritual experience, but I'm still walking around slamming other people's faiths, standing up from the podium saying I'm a recovering Catholic, right? What happened to having any issues with outside, any problems with outside issues, right? Here we are from the podium taking backhanded slaps at other people's faiths, other people's concepts of God, right? I'm all awake and whatever like that, but I'm still hating all of the other people, right? It's good questions, right? With the thought that faith and dependence upon a power greater than myself was someone who was weak and cowardly, right? Did I believe that stuff? You know, was I always dependent on me, or my thoughts and my intellect for everything? And what happens is what I think, is people come in here and they start to believe that the second step is about, you know, signing up to a concept, signing up to a religious belief or something like of that nature. And I'm not saying that it isn't. I'm just saying that that's some of the predisposed thoughts that we have in our minds because we've had all of these relationships with God or this word God or religions and all these other things that we come in here with these predisposed ideas. Now I see the word on the wall. I'm getting out of here. What are we talking about? Right? Here's some more problems with the second step. Page 47 says in the bottom paragraph, that's great news. Did I assume I could not make use of spiritual principles unless I accepted many things on faith which seemed difficult to believe? Right? When people presented us with a spiritual approach, how frequently do we say, I wish I had what that man has, I'm sure it would work if I can only believe as he believes, but I cannot accept as surely as he does so many articles of faith which are so plain to him. Am I coming in here thinking that this second step is about that me having to accept so many different articles of faith of religions or different things that are out there? Or that you have to believe what I believe or I have to believe what you believe or any of this other stuff? And what happens is I've heard people say it all the time. I'm working on my second step. I'm working on my third step. But I don't see how that, you know, that's not my understanding of this step. You know, my understanding is, am I screwed? You know, do I need something to help me stop me from drinking and from wanting to kill myself and from being verbally abusive in my relationships, physically abusive in my relationships? I can't stop that stuff drunk or sober, right? How much this step is more so to me about the insanity and my need for something else, right? And my inability to control my drinking on my own, my inability to stop the crazy thinking on my own, my inability to stop being suicidal on my own. So on page 44, it says, in the preceding chapters, we have learned something about alcoholism. Is that true? At this point in time, have I learned a few things about alcoholism? I mean, we talked about the spiritual malady, you know, last week. We talked about the mental obsession the week before. We've talked for a couple weeks about that physical allergy. At this point in time, do I have this? Have I made some distinction between the real alcoholic and the hard drinker or the moderate drinker? Where am I in this point in the game? Right? We hope we've made the clear distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. Is that so? Another thing is I've got some time. Do I still believe it? Do I still believe I'm a real alcoholic? Or is somewhere in there, am I now all of a sudden telling people I wake up and choose not to drink today? Or, if when I honestly want to and I cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking I have little control over the amount I take, it's telling you, if you're one of those two people, that you're probably an alcoholic. Okay? Now, faced with these two problems, do I believe that I'm suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience can conquer? In other words, how about this? Do I have other options? Mm-hmm. Do I have other options? Chances are, the people that have other options are not going to be opening up this book, not going to be asking a sponsor to take them through this process. If I believe I have other options, chances are, well, first of all, you probably should go check them out, or talk to somebody about your ideas. They may be helpful. They may help me along, right? But if you're a real alcoholic, you may be out of options. But that's the question. Do I have any other options? How's yoga working out, right? Do I believe I can go change my diet? You know, do I believe that maybe I can just do a lot of exercise, go to the gym a lot? I see it a lot in guys in AA. Right? Let's get up, you know, go to the gym, get the tan working, get the body looking good, all these other things, the job, the money, all this other stuff, you know, shining up the car, you know. Do I have other options? If not, you may want to get a sponsor and have them take you through the rest of this process, right? Or, if you are out of options, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience can conquer, okay? Page 48. Oh, boy. This is me, everybody. And this is me today. I got to tell you. This is me now. This has definitely come up in my last 6 months of inventory, the last 6 months of prayer and meditation. This following word has come out to me as loud as it can be in meditation. Have I found myself handicapped by obstinacy? That's me. You know, I think I'm so right that I'm willing to even admit I'm not willing to ever admit that I'm wrong. Even when I'm wrong, I'm trying to admit I'm right. Even when I know I'm wrong, I'm still stubbornly trying to shove this particular thought of how you are supposed to do things down your throat. Or maybe about how the way I'm supposed to do things down my throat. Are we handicapped by sensitiveness? Most of us are. Most real alcoholics are very sensitive, right? I walk into a room, she's going like this, they're making fun of me. They're not talking, you know, they're making fun of me. They don't like me. It's something wrong with my shirt. You know, I'm wearing the stupid Yankee sneakers. What's going on here, right? Right? They don't like what I said about the, you know, Three Kings Day. I'm all a wreck, right? I'm very sensitive. Right? You smile at me, you don't smile at me, you laugh at me too much, I don't believe you, right? I'm a very sensitive person, right? How about unreasoning prejudice? Ding. Okay? I've come into Alcoholics Anonymous prejudiced about everything, everybody, the whole gig. From 5 years old on, you wear the bragging dragon, you're a jerk. You're really good at baseball, you're one of those jock losers, right? You play cheerleading, you know, you're stuck up, right? You're a metalhead, you know, whatever. My whole life, black, Puerto Rican, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, old, young, Polish, Irish, Italian, Jewish, it doesn't matter. I am prejudiced. I carry on every single stereotype that ever existed from the age of 5 to 36 when I come in here. I'm extremely prejudiced. Forget about the whole religion thing. Yeah, absolutely. I got that going on too. Right? Yeah, God's okay with me. religion's okay with me, I guess, but it better be mine, the gospel according to Michael. All you other people, I hate you. All you other people are wrong, right? I understand prejudice pretty well, right? And here's the question, right? Am I still like this today? Got to always ask ourselves this, right? This isn't just for, you know, my first couple days in here. Where am I now? Many of us have been so touchy that even the casual reference to spiritual things made us bristle with antagonism. It wasn't so much if you happened to mention the things that I believe in. You want to start mentioning some other stuff? Definitely. God bless you. Bristle with antagonism. That's me. Another word of saying, hostile opposition. Do I have hostile opposition towards spiritual things? Or, I've got a really cool concept, everyone else's is wrong. Right?
Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's quite all right. Yeah. So here's some of the insanity, right? This is what I come in full of prejudice. I'm stubborn, sensitive, right? Faced with alcoholic destruction. That's step one. Are people here faced with alcoholic destruction? Right? Well, if you're faced with alcoholic destruction, we soon have to become open-minded on spiritual matters, as I am to other questions. Right? Is alcohol a great persuader? Is it still today? Meaning, do I have unfinished amends? Do I have something that I've been holding on my fourth step or my fifth step that I'm not sharing with a sponsor? Right? Am I engaging in some sort of, for me, you know, adult room activity? You know, that I don't, God forbid, you ever find out about, or don't want you to know about, right? Am I doing nightly review? Am I picking up the phone for the newcomer? Am I showing up for the new guy? Am I taking on sponsees? Or am I just too busy for all of this stuff? Because chances are, if I'm answering no to a lot of that stuff, chances are, it's no longer a great persuader. Alcohol, and somewhere in the back of my mind, is no longer my master. Somewhere I think I've got power over alcohol. And somewhere I think I'm managing my own life. Dangerous place for a guy like me. Sometimes this is a tedious process, and we hope no one else will be as prejudiced for as long as some of us were. And so, basically, what they're saying to you is, you're here now. We'd love you to stick around. You know, you might be a high-bottom alcoholic, but it can go lower. And if you really need to have some more experience with alcohol, you know, we wish we can spare you from that pain, but we also understand that pain is absolutely necessary for you to possibly consider that you may need to do steps 2 through 12. Page 56. Oh, yeah, so this is a cool guy. This is a guy like me, right? Our friend, he's a minister's son. Now, I'm not a minister's son, okay? But I did attend CCD, and I did have a... my mother was my CCD teacher, right? And my father was a very religious guy, right? And I may have thought that I had an overdose of religious education. For years thereafter, I was dodged by trouble and frustration. Has anybody been dogged by trouble and frustration? How about business failure? Insanity? I don't know if I've told you guys, but remember, when I walked in here, I thought the entire Freehold Police Department was having sex with my girlfriend. Right? I have differentiating the true from the false. I don't know what's real or not real. I don't know if you're my friend or you're not my friend. I don't know if you really like me or not. I don't think you really love me or not. I don't know. I'm really out of my mind. I can't tell. Drunk or sober, I've got these problems. Have we had fatal illness? Right? I'm throwing up blood when I come in here. Anybody else come in here with some fatal illness, hepatitis C or some other sort of thing, you know, that brings us in here? Problems with the esophagus or liver or kidneys. These are all popular things that bring us in here. Right? What about suicide? That's me. These calamities were in this guy's and mine at times. Immediate family embittered and depressed him. How about this? Post-war delusionment. Or how about PTSD? Right? A lot of us have that these days. Right? People coming back from war with all sorts of trauma and other issues. This guy I may identify with you. After more serious alcoholism, impending mental and physical collapse brought him to the point of self-destruction. Is that you folks? Are you at the point of self-destruction? Because if you are at the point of self-destruction, what this book is basically telling you is to go through the rest of the steps. You don't have to sit around and play games with developing concepts, right? Just a willingness to believe that this thing might work for you is enough to get going. All right? How about logic? Logic's kind of cool, right? You know, be nice to talk about the spiritual stuff involving some logic, right? On page 53, logic's great stuff. We liked it. We still like it. It is not by chance that we were given the power to reason, to examine the evidence of our senses. Okay, first of all, here's a question. Is it possible that God cooperates with logic? Is it possible that God cooperates with reason? Is it possible that God cooperates with science? Is it possible that God cooperates with philosophy? Or am I using all of these things to try to deny that there's God? Right? Is it possible that actually these things can go together? And here, our book is asking us to take a look at some logic, to use the power of reason, to examine the evidence of our senses. Step one. Step one. Can I control my drinking? Am I in charge of the stopping and the starting? When I start, do I lose all control? When I'm stopped, can I stay stopped? Am I doing crazy and insane things while drunk or sober? Do I identify with going against my own moral code? Do I have the insanity of an alcoholic mind? This is the evidence of our senses that we're talking about that will help us to draw our own conclusions as they ask. Okay? Right? They're talking about this insanity that we're talking about. When it comes to alcohol, am I a nutcase? At the very least, when it comes to alcohol, am I an abnormal thinker? Am I insane at least when it comes to those things? Do I need to be restored to sanity as a point, at least in this area? For me, I need it in a lot of other areas. You know, and I don't know if anybody identifies with those things. But in particular, when it comes to alcohol, let's just keep it simple. Are you like that? Okay. Yeah, okay. So, that is one man's... we agnostically incline that we would not feel satisfied with a proposal which does not lend itself to a reasonable approach, step one, and an interpretation, step two. Hence, are we at pains to tell why we think our present faith is reasonable? Do I believe it more sane and logical to believe than not to believe? You know, was my former thinking... confused when I threw up my hands in doubt and said, I don't know. When it comes to God, am I just, you know, a mush pot? That's what they're saying here. For a guy who's beat up like me, the whole God idea starts to make sense. For a guy who's throwing up blood, for a guy who's swallowing all the pills in the medicine cabinet, for the guy who's verbally and physically abusive, for the guy who can't sit down at Thanksgiving and feel like a normal person, for a guy who can't go on a date without, you know, having the shakes, the idea of doing the rest of the steps sounds like an okay idea for me. I'm not getting hung up on all the other stuff. You know, the question is, am I ripped up over this? Page 54. It says here in this third paragraph below, can I imagine a life without faith? Let's do that. We did it last week, but let's do it again real quick. This is a life without faith. Okay? Page 52. Right? Am I having trouble with my personal relationships? Can I control my emotional natures? Am I a prey to misery? Am I a prey to depression? Can I make a living? Am I feeling useless? Am I full of fear? Am I unhappy? Do I seem to be of any real help to other people? That's a life without faith. That's a life of untreated alcoholism. Right? Can't read my own writing. Okay. So the question is do I believe I'm a real alcoholic? If you're not sure, I ask you to get somebody who's had an experience with this book and ask them to take you through the identification process of the first 63 pages. Okay? You may be in this room and you may not be a real alcoholic. But it's probably worth your while to find out. You're in a room called Alcoholics Anonymous. It'd be worthwhile to find out what Alcoholics Anonymous says is a real alcoholic. And it'd be worthwhile to have an experience with, at the very least, that truth. Do I have this? So this chapter is about how, where, and why to find this power. And we'll start with where. On page 30, in the chapter More About Alcoholism, we learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were real alcoholics. What is it saying here? It's saying that we have to concede to our innermost self if we are a real alcoholic. We have to be honest. Where do we have to be honest? Not in our head, but our innermost selves, maybe in the heart, maybe in the gut. You know? And the question is did I make that concession? Did I submit under pressure? Because usually life's circumstances, the circumstances of step one, bring me to this concession of, yes, I am totally powerless. Yes, I need help. Yes, my life is unmanageable. Yes, I need to do something about it. But that has to be an honest thing that goes on. It says on the inside, right? It says to our innermost self. And then funny enough, on page 55... it says, actually, we were fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man and woman is the fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured by calamity, by pomp, ego, worship of other things, but in some form or another, it's there. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstration of that power in human lives has been fact as old as man himself. It's saying that in that same place where I make that concession, in that same place where I concede to my innermost self that I'm a real alcoholic, it's also telling me to that same place is where I'm going to find and have an experience with this power. In my innermost self. Right? That's where. All right? Now, here's the thing. Do I believe that? Is it possible that this has been obscured by calamity? By ego? By worship of other things? I mean, for me personally, I told you all the things that I worship. Right? The women, the money, all of that stuff. Right? For me, in very much in particular, status. What others think of me? Like crazy. Right? What's my modern day worship? I worship my DVR. Right? I do. It's ridiculous. How do I know? Because I'm more obsessed at times clearing out the things on my DVR than writing my nightly review. Because anything that's stopping me from doing this work is something that I worship, is something that I'm putting away in between this power. And it was made very clear to me that anything that I put in between my relationship with God, I will grow to resent. Anything. So if I'm putting my woman before my relationship with God, I am going to grow to hate her. If I'm putting my money in front of my relationship with God, I am going to grow to hate it. If I'm putting my job, my feelings, my emotions, anything, I'm going to grow to hate it. And that is my experience. I get into so much pain with these things, I have to write inventory and seek this power even yet more and again and again. But coming in here, I worship everything. I worship everything that isn't God. But in some form or another, do I believe that, you know, this idea of God is there? Or is it at least possible that it's there? And hasn't faith in a power greater than ourselves, a miraculous demonstration of that power in human lives, as fact as old as man itself? And basically, here's the thing. Do I believe that it's happening to some of you other characters out there? You know, I mean, that's really the situation, right? Everyone's got different belief systems coming in here. Everyone's got different belief systems coming on the other side of this step work. Do I believe that my sponsor is no longer beating up his girlfriend, cheating on his taxes, going home kicking his dog, and that he's standing up at the podium talking the talk and walking the walk that he's saying? Do I believe he's a changed man? And am I seeing this going on all around me? That's all I really need to be witness of anyhow, right? You know, that's kind of the why part of all of this thing. Do I, you know, why? Well, I see it happening, right? You know, I see it happening with some of you people here. You know, I've known some of you for a couple of years. I see it happening in this guy over here. I've seen him a couple months ago where he was at. You know, things are happening, right? How is it? Where is it coming from? I don't know. Maybe some concession to their innermost selves, starting up some step work, taking some directions, honesty, willingness, and open-mindedness, right? Honest with ourselves that I'm an alcoholic and that I need help, willingness to try some things different, and being open-minded to some stuff, to some new ideas, open-minded to the fact or humble enough that I don't have all the answers, that somebody else might be able to guide me through it. Maybe it's a power, I don't know, hopefully. Hopefully what you guys are telling me are true. So deep down inside every man, woman, and child is this fundamental idea of God. It's in that same place where we make that inner concession. It's an interesting idea. Okay. Okay. Here's a little bit of how. Page 47. God bless you. Yeah, thanks. Do not let any prejudice you have against spiritual terms to deter you from being honestly asking yourself what they mean to you. Right? It's asking us, like this young lady started the meeting off with, please lay aside everything we think we know about the steps, about God, about alcoholism, about myself, right? So I can have an open mind, an open heart, and a new experience with these things. It's asking me to lay aside prejudice. Prejudice is the thing that's been blocking me off from everything else. And they mention it so many different times here. On page 55, I think they talk about it again. It says we can only clear the ground a little bit if our testimony of these people helps you sweep away prejudice and enables you to think honestly, encourages you to search diligently within yourself. Then, if you wish, you can join us on the broad highway. With this attitude, you cannot fail. That's a promise. What's the attitude? To think honestly, to search diligently within myself. How do I do that? Fourth step. It says, the consciousness of my belief is sure to come to me. That's a promise. As long as I am willing and open-minded to new things, to new experiences, to the possibility that this thing works, to the possibility that it's working with you and it might work for me. The consciousness of my belief is sure to come to me. Let me tell you, 10 years sober, it's still coming to me. And I have a pretty big concept, and it seems very organized, and it seems to be, really set into a lot of different boxes and all this other stuff, and it's still revealing itself to me. Right? And I need it to be like that. I can't live on yesterday's spiritual experience. I can't stay sober on yesterday's thing. I have to constantly keep seeking. Why? Because my spiritual sickness is that deep. I know it. Right? I'm the type of guy, I get out of an acting class, things don't go too well in the class, right? I feel like I kind of goofed up the scene. You know, they asked me to be real honest, so I told them real a lot of honest stuff because I'm like, oh, this is a great idea. I'm in AA. We're all about being honest. I'll tell you a bunch of stuff that's on my fifth step and all the craziness that goes on in my head. Next thing I know, I feel like the whole class is judging me. I fail at this assignment so bad. I'm walking after the class, you know, kind of hating myself. I'm going to the Bank of America to make a deposit. Here comes a bus. My mind says, jump in front of that bus just to see what it feels like. I need to keep seeking this power, even more so today than I did 10 years ago. This thing is trying. This thing knows that, you know, pouring a drink in front of me today may not be the thing that gets me drunk. That's going to be a lot of other stuff. That sensitiveness, maybe that stubbornness, or the reimmersion of ego in various different ways. So I know, you know, my spiritual sickness is deep, and I know I need to keep seeking a power that's big enough and that goes that deep as well. And I have to keep doing it. So do I believe? Oh, wait. I love this word, this term. Do I believe I will find the great reality deep down within us? It says it's in the last analysis, it's only there that God can be found. Promise. It is so with me. Promise. So do I believe that I can find this great reality within myself if I search fearlessly? And do I believe that God reveals himself to me as I reveal myself to me? Meaning, the more I do this step work, the more I do inventory, the more I find out more about myself, it's basically saying that's exactly how much more God will reveal himself to me as well. As I discover more about truth about myself, either about my sickness or about the way I think or the delusions of my mind or my self-centeredness or anything else, or, you know, the resentments of my sex conduct and all this other stuff, God will be revealing himself to me as I go on this journey and I search. So he's taking my hand and guiding my pencil through this process. Right? Again, it's all pointing towards go forward. Keep doing the step work. Don't sit around in two. Don't sit around in three. Identify with the first step. Read some reasons why you should do it. Read some reasons how it's helping other people. Be encouraged to make some decisions to move forward, but that's what this is all about. Moving forward. And about this thing deep down inside, it came to me too. Again, it's that time of year. I'm watching this movie with about a guy who wishes he was never born. Right? He gets a visit from his guardian angel. Right? Guardian angel gets to show him what life would be like without, you know, if he was never existed, and got to show him all the different ways that his life touches other people. Kind of something like you had sent me today. Right? And the guy sees how life was so different without him. And here's a guy who's suicidal. He wants to jump off a bridge. He wants to kill himself. That guy is just like me. All right? That guy who wants to end it all. That guy who wants to just to check out. That guy who can't deal with the stresses of life and the emotions and everything else that goes with it. Right? That guy who feels like his dreams have been smashed, you know, from 20 years ago, that he still wants to somehow recapture it or wishes things were differently. That guy who wants to jump off the bridge and kill himself, right? He has this encounter, right? And then he's like, he says, what does he say? He says, God, I want to live. God, I want to live. God, please help me live. God, I want to live. How many times have we said that? How many times have we said, God, just help me, please? If you've said that, the place from where that came from is the same place where the concession needs to be made, and is the same place where you will find that power as you keep searching. I don't know if that makes sense, but I can tell you, for this time, I've seen this movie so many different times. This Christmas, I broke down. This Christmas, I, you know, probably cried like 4 or 5 times. But on this particular occasion, you know, I'm thinking, this is just like me. A sensitive, stubborn, cold, alcoholic. You know, how many times? God, I just want to live. God, just please help me. You know, God, I want to live. You know, it's that same place where you can find the great reality. Why? Page 50. Touched on it before. Here are thousands of men and women, worldly indeed, that flatly declare that since they have come to believe in a power greater than themselves, it's telling you right here. There's thousands of men and women, worldly indeed, that flatly declare that since they've come to believe in a power greater than themselves, step 2, and they took a certain attitude towards that power, step three, and to do certain simple things, steps four through nine, that there had been revolutionary changes in their ways of living and thinking. So what it's saying, that these people, these alcoholics, these sick maniacs just like me, in the face of collapse and despair, in the face of the total failure of their own human will, their own human power, their own human resources, they found that a new power, a new peace, and new happiness, and a new sense of direction flows inside of them as the result of 2, 3, 4 through 9. So the reason why I should go search this power is because I see it happening around me all the time in these rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and all these other rooms where these steps are being worked. Right? It's happening. It says later on in this book, the age of miracles is still with us. Mm-hmm. And I believe it every day. And it doesn't mean... And here's another thing, too, right? I was always told, call God out. If God's not, you know, call him out. Where are you, man? What's going on? You know, I'm doing this deal. I'm sitting here writing inventory. I'm trying to be a gentleman with a woman. You know, I'm showing up to mom and dad. I'm going to these meetings. I'm just putting the stupid chairs together. You know what I mean? I'm cleaning them up. I'm mopping. I'm you know, biting my tongue at work and all this other crap. Where the hell are you? Because I see all these other guys in AA. They're floating around. They're having all these experiences and things are going great. How come it's not happening for me? Where are you, God? Show up. I need you now. Call them out. Ask the power to reveal itself to you. If you honestly do that, and if you honestly, that's honest truth from me. Call it out. Now, just so you know, that thing may not be revealed to you the way you're expecting it to. It may not be a burning bush, all right? It might be a burning bush too. It very well could be a burning bush. My power is that, you know, my understanding of God is that big, that he can make things just happen like that, right? But he will reveal himself to you. That's my experience. Dear God, please show up. I've said, God, listen, it's been really great hanging out with you all this while. Thanks for the 1 year of sobriety. Thanks for some of this stuff that you've been showing me or whatever. But here's the deal. I'm going to die. I'm going to kill myself. I can't handle this thing. So here's the deal. If I have to, you know, put on a suit and grow the long beard and the ringlets and wear a hat, I'm doing it. If I have to hang out with a ponytail out of the side of my head and jingle with a tambourine, I'm doing it. And I mean that earnestly. This isn't a joke. I'm going to do it. Right? If I have to sit and go on a mountaintop and shave my head and, you know, walk around like Qui-Gon Jinn and meditate on a mountaintop for the rest of my life, I'm doing it because I'm going to die. I need you. Show up. And it's been told me to do it. Call God out. Ask him. Reveal yourself to me. Show yourself to me. Give me a concept that I can work with just to get me through the next 5 minutes. Just to help me to turn the page. Just to get me to show up to the next meeting. You know, God may not reveal himself to me in such a way that I'm like, okay, great, you're healed, blessed, whatever. You know, sometimes he knows I probably work best with the struggle, or I absolutely insist upon it with my selfishness and self-will. So, the point is, why am I doing this? Why? What's the good reason to find God? Because I see it happening in Alcoholics Anonymous. I see this peace. I see this power. I see this sense of ease and comfort happening in other people. And it's been my experience. Fourth step, fifth step experience. Powerful stuff. Sitting down, making amends to somebody that I don't think it's going to go one way, and it goes a totally other way, and then I find out after 7 years of sobriety, you know, some sick people like that should be institutionalized are telling me that I need to learn to love myself. Wow, I didn't expect that when I showed up to make those amends. Right, this thing keeps showing me things; it keeps revealing itself to things to me throughout the process. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. You know, it's my experience too. Is there another reason why? Well, 48. Practical individual of today is a stickler for facts and results. Okay. Well, it's happening to every single sponsor who I've picked. Right? Nevertheless, the 20th century readily accept those kinds of theories provided that they're firmly grounded in fact. Well, this is the fact, right? On the front page of this book, is the story of how many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism. Fact. I don't really need to seek out anything beyond that. Should I? I mean, at least to get going? At least to convince me to start making some other moves? In order to, you know, possibly feel better about some things? There's the facts. Many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism and plenty of other things. And here's a description of what this power looks like. Simply because it is impossible to explain what we see, feel, direct, and use without a reasonable assumption as a starting point. This power has to be like that. It has to be something I see, feel, direct, and use. Now, I'm definitely the philosopher type. I'm definitely the intellectual type. I'm the one who wants to figure out God. I want to figure out religion. I want to figure out why they put certain, you know, vestments on at this place, and why, you know, this group wears, you know, this hat, and another group wears, you know, a yarmulke. Like, I want to know all these things out, and I want to intellectualize this thing. But it's telling me that this power has to be something I see, feel, direct, and use. Sounds pretty nuts. How am I directing this power? Sounds like it's pretty insane to go, you know, something like that. But I see it happening in some of these churches. People walking in, they have cancer. Bunch of people put their hands on that person, pray over them, and there are, you know, cases where people are healed from these things. Obviously, I know my friend was out there using, doing alcohol, crazy stuff, all this other stuff. I prayed every single day for that guy, every single day, until one day a little thing went off in my stomach and said, stop praying, it's going to be taken care of. Guess what? It's taken care of. Guess what else? The guy has the same sobriety date as me, May 1st. You know, just as something that I was able to direct. I'm able to see it happening amongst me. I see it happening with a lot of you folks around me today. I see it happening in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I feel it. Some people say that, and I'm so glad it's the person who told me this. I used to do, my parents had this dog. No, sorry, my aunt had this dog. It was a Yorkshire Terrier. They called her Chrissy. And Chrissy was epileptic. And this poor dog, when she would have these seizures, would literally like bounce off the ground like this, right? And my whole life, you know, that I can remember, I used to have these moments where I'd go like this, right? I couldn't understand it. My friends used to call it a Chrissy fit, right? Just like the dog, just like freaking out, like a little epileptic thing or whatever like that. But some people say that sense of like goosebumps or that little chill that comes on, that's the spirit alive in our life. That's God touching me. And let me tell you, the more and more I look at that, the more and more I'm open to that, the more and more I actually literally feel it sometimes every day, sometimes multiple times in a day. It is that practical. You know, my current sponsor is a guy who feels that this thing, this program of action, has to be a practical application to life. I'm definitely the type of guy who likes to chase the gurus, who likes to do the meditating and the idea of floating and, you know, solving the world's problems from, you know, 508 Vanderbilt Street. But the thing is, in order for me to walk across that curb to the bank and not jump in front of the bus, I need that practical application that I can see, feel, touch, and use. And and that is happening, but that's what it needs to look like. And maybe sometimes too, it's something that other people are going to see in me. I'm the opposite of a mama's boy. I'm kind of a person who always had, you know, arguments with my mom. You know, and has nothing to do with her. You know, she's a good girl. She's a good woman. It's my restless spirit in many respects. I don't like being told what to do a lot. I get very rebellious. And so I remember at one point in time, my mother was like, sometime in sobriety, early sobriety, my mother asked me to do something for her, which was about She asked me to, like, I was going to a church thing at like midnight, and she had to do this church thing at 1 o'clock in the morning. She asked me to stick around and do this church thing. And here I am, right? I'm bringing my inventory. You know, I'm writing my inventory. I'm going to, one of my four steps, the first one or the second one, and I'm bringing my inventory along. My mother's asking me to just sit down in a chapel and really just sit down for an extra hour and keep writing inventory. Here I am. I'm this guy in AA. I'm trying to seek God and all this other stuff. But she asked me to do her a favor, and I'm like, gosh, damn, you know, start slamming stuff. Fine, whatever. I can't believe you can't do this stuff. Whatever. My mother, right? You know, she's in her 70s at this point. And I'm carrying on because she asked me to sit in a place for an hour, okay? Because she's not feeling well. And then, so I go to the place, and I go and I sit down, and I do the writing, and I do the writing, and I get this thing like, you know, what a jerk you are. You should have shown up. You should have just said, yeah, sure, I'd love to do that for you, Ma. Like, why aren't you kind, loving, and tolerant with your mother when you're supposed to be this with all these other AA guys and all this other stuff? How come you can't do this with your mom? And, I'm restless, I'm irritable, I'm discontented, and I'm trying to quit smoking cigarettes. And I've had some success not smoking. And so 2 o'clock in the morning or 2:30 in the morning, whatever it is, I ran in front of the Quick Check and I'm sitting there. And I went and sought this cigarette for ease and comfort. And I knew it was for ease and comfort. And I knew, too, I needed to go and apologize to my mom. And I said, you know, and I don't know why this is coming up now. This is probably maybe not the appropriate time for a second step, but this is what's coming up. And I said to my mom, I said, you know, Mom, I really carried on before. I shouldn't have behaved that way, you know, acted like a, you know, insolent child. You know, you don't deserve that. You know, you deserve better from me. And I said, you know, I went out, I bought cigarettes, and I started, I think, to get emotional like this. And she says, no, it's okay. You know, it's okay. Go have a cigarette. It's not a big deal. And I said, no, Mom, trust me. I said, behind that cigarette is a drink. Mm. I said, a drink is behind that, and I know it. You know, I'm running. My mother said to me, Michael, I just want you to know that I can see a change in you. And that you should keep doing what you're doing, right? They say in this book that people are going to see the change happen to us before we see it ourselves. And here at a time when I'm a mess and everything else, my mother probably, in many respects, for the first time that I was able to hear in my adult life, Michael, I'm proud of you. You know? And what did I do? Just apologize. But she was able to see it. Maybe she was able to feel it. You know, maybe her prayers for me all of those years, because she knew she had a troubled kid. You know, I'm sure her prayers weren't, you know, make my son an alcoholic and please bring him to AA. But, you know, please help him to be okay. Please keep him safe. Please keep him out of danger. Please don't keep him out of, the drunk tanks and the car wrecks and everything else. You know, maybe she got to see her prayers that were directed to seeing her son kind of come out of it. And I guarantee you that if you do this process and if you're honestly willing to give it a try, and you search diligently within yourself, and you follow through with the rest of these steps, that this power will come to you. You will be able to see, feel, direct, and use it in ways that you can imagine and ways that you don't even realize. And for that, I say thanks for having me.